Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
All right, glad you can be with us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Coming up this hour, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb as we go over that for this date. But Anthony Fauci is back. Dr. Fauci is now commenting on Major League Baseball's return, if it actually does return. I don't know how much Anthony Fauci is paying attention to what Major League Baseball is going through right now with the fact that Rob Manfred's like, I don't even think we're going to be playing, man. There's no deal. But Dr. Fauci did say that if it does return, that at the end of October could be a problem. And look, I'm warning you that the virus could come back. So it made me think, like, look, we know that this is what the owners of Major League Baseball want. They want a World Series that ends the way it's on time, you know, the way it was originally scheduled. They are worried about what this fall, late fall and winter will do for the virus because they don't want their postseason canceled. That's where all their money is. So if you are an owner, this is, you want a deal that says, when are we starting the postseason? When is the regular season ending? And when are we getting to the postseason? Now, if you're the players and you want as many games as possible, you go, well, let's play this bad boy up until Halloween and then start the playoffs. Let's go to neutral sites. We don't care. We want as many games at our prorated salary as we possibly can. And the owners want obviously the exact opposite. They want is, you know, not so that they don't want their postseason to be canceled. I got to thinking, well, I wonder what Dr. Fauci is going to say about the NFL. What about college football? If it's such a concern for Major League Baseball, what about those two other sports that not only are going to be going on in October but and beyond, but it's important football at that time? Conference games in college football. The NFL is going to be having games that are going to start you seeing the contenders and the pretenders, if you will. So, yeah, there's a lot of focus on baseball and when it should end and when it should be over if there's going to be some sort of second wave that's coming in from the coronavirus. But at the same time, I don't think baseball is a concern for a lot of people in terms of the sports calendar in October and November. It's the sport that is really concerning. That's football, both the collegiate and the professional level, that could be impacted by a second wave. That's what I'd like to find out about the, you know, the projections for that particular sport. The good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get up to a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase select Superstart batteries. With high cranking power and reserve capacity, Superstart batteries provide all the power your vehicle demands and more. Turn the key with confidence. Superstart batteries only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We're here to tell you about Boost Mobile's new upgraded network.
That's right. Stronger signal, faster speeds, and more coverage.
So now you can get everything you want faster, like Pitbull's music.
No, the new upgraded network means you can download music faster than ever before. It doesn't mean that it will make Pitbull songs faster.
Oh, so this isn't the song.
No, this is the song.
Well, this is embarrassing.
Step up with Boost Mobile's new upgraded network. Stronger signal, faster speeds, more coverage than before. Switch and get four unlimited lines for $25 per line per month and four free LG K51 phones. Access to upgraded network requires compatible device. New customers only. Four-line offer requires at least one port and activation from eligible carrier. Free phone limited to one per line while supplies last. Customers using more than 35 gigabytes of data during billing cycle may be deprioritized during times of congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. Additional terms and restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
You're more focused than ever on keeping your employees and customers safe. Cintas has the products and services you need to feel prepared. Our Cintas technicians can apply our disinfectant and sanitizer spray throughout your facility. Our UltraClean service for restrooms uses a sanitizer effective against certain germs, bacteria, and viruses. And we'll help you stay well-stocked with hand sanitizer, face masks, and essential PPE. Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. Oh, coming up this hour, we're also going to talk to Gabe Lax of USA Today on Major League Baseball, where we stand today. We kind of got an idea, but get a little insight into what's going on, and baseball tries to return in some capacity. But we are at the good, the bad, and the dumb, so let's get the good as the midday part of the week. The good of the day.
Yeah, I need to know what Dr. Fauci would think of this sports competition because these guys have said COVID-19 be damned.
All right.
The Nathan's hot dog eating contest will go on as scheduled on July 4th.
Oh, wow.
But it'll be from a secret location.
Okay, so they're not going to do it at Coney Island?
They can't. Because how are you going to keep people away?
No, you can't.
We will still be privy to the gluttony that is Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
That's all we really want.
Yes.
Right? All we really want.
They'll still have 10-minute competitions. They'll still have Joey Chestnut and Matt Stoney Smith or whatever.
Matt Stoney.
Whatever his name is. And, you know, horking down hot dogs and buns by the, I guess, case, gallon, bucket. I don't know.
And those two brothers that promote the eating, the Shea brothers, I think, right?
Is that Shea?
What they are?
Is it O'Shea? Or I think it's O'Shea.
Maybe it's O'Shea. But the one that's got the microphone that is just screaming all the time. 52 hot dogs and buns!
Well, I don't know if he gets to do his shtick this year. I think he gets to rest his vocal cords because if they're from
you don't have to scream.
If they're from a secret location where there's no fans and no one's cheering. I mean, do you pump in crowd noise for that? You got it, right?
I would hope you would.
I mean,
Why not?
Joey Chestnut can't do that on his own.
Now, one of the things that Nathan's hot dog eating contest is famous for is that every guy that comes in, the announcer, one of the O'Shea brothers, he does like a lengthy WWE type of intro for him. Like, he's like, he once ate 662 meatballs. His family is, he does these like fancy sort of parts unknown type of thing. And I wonder if he would still do that because that's kind of part of the getting the crowd riled up. But if there's no crowd, you just go, Mike Jones, ladies and gentlemen, he's from Plano, Texas.
Rather than something fancy. Yep.
Like, he's the eating machine, the equivalent of the Indy 500 race car that can go to 1,000 miles an hour. You just go, here he is. Go up there.
Yep. And it will feature the leading male and female eaters. So Joey Chestnut will be there to defend his crown.
Sonya the Black Widow Thomas.
Yeah, but actually the reigning champion, I believe, is Miki Sudo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Chestnut has the world record of 74 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
74?
In 10 minutes.
I sort of forget the magnitude of this.
I mean, I'm pretty good. I could probably put down at least 2 to 3 in 10 minutes.
Yeah, if I go to a barbecue where my wife goes, go nuts. Yeah. Don't worry about embarrassing me. Just eat what you want. I could knock down a few dogs.
Yeah.
74,
74
though.
In 10 minutes.
It's unreal.
Even the female record is at 41.
Do you remember when Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs and they were saying, like, is it physically possible that the average human could hit 65? Like, they were trying to put it in some sort of, like, physical context. Do eaters do that with hot dogs where they go, well, it's actually impossible to eat 80?
I would say it would be 100,000 1,000 times easier to hit 60 home runs
right.
than it would be to hit the eat 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Because I'm thinking a couple of years ago, they probably thought 50 was impossible.
Of course, yes.
Right, where they said, no way, is anybody going to eat 50? That's yeah. insane.
Or then average one, it wouldn't be 1 minute.
Yeah, they're shoving like down.
10 a minute?
Yeah, they're shoving.
I
think it's, how long is it, 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
That they have to woof down these dogs?
Yeah.
That's 10 minutes of hell, man. That's got to be awful.
God.
You're just shoving these things in your mouth.
And just
you don't even get to enjoy them.
I mean, and you're basically swallowing hot dogs whole.
Yeah, and you're jumping up and down so it gets down your belly as fast as possible. And there's this like beautiful women like flipping numbers above
you.
Do you
think they call their agent afterwards like, hey, this wasn't the gig I was looking for?
Right, exactly. Exactly. When you told me you had a really cool public gig, you didn't tell me I was gonna stand behind Booker T and flipping numbers while he's shoving hot dogs in his face. You know?
I mean, I'll never forget. I had the honor of talking to John Brankus once, who broke down the science.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And the one thing that still sticks out to my mind to this day was he said, yeah, it isn't so much the sight of it, but the sound of it.
Oh, I know.
And I was just like, oh, I can't ever get that audio out of my head. Like, just, I can't. Thank God they don't have micro. Maybe they will this time. Maybe we will actually get to hear the sound. If they're doing it in front of a location and there's no crowd noise, there's no one.
Right.
Maybe you will actually hear the sound of them eating.
That's great. That's great.
I don't think that's great. But
when we went to New York, we went to Coney Island one time. It was middle, it was summer. And it took the train into Coney Island. And they have this gigantic mural. That shows it does a countdown to the next eating contest, and they have all the winners listed. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's this big, gigantic thing. So we went to Nathan's and we all got hot dogs.
Well, you have to, right?
It's like we were there. We were like, we're going to do this. We're not eating anything else. So, kids, you better enjoy this because we're not eating anywhere. We are here eating these hot dogs just like Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's great. Do people go there? I mean, I hope they have like hot dogs that are cheap, like a dollar a dog or something like that. So you can go there like, yeah, just give me five. I'm going to try to do five in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if they were that cheap, but they were.
No,
I'm sure
I doubt they
are.
I don't know. They're probably expensive. You're probably sitting there going, I'm paying what for a hot dog?
Yeah, they might be. I don't remember the price, but yeah, I remember I had two hot dogs.
You know, so. I mean, maybe that could be a fun July 4th idea, right? Have your own hot dog eating contest.
Yeah.
Amongst
Don't
the
choke.
Family.
Right.
And just see what you can do.
See what you can do? Pop them on the old flat top.
Yeah, I might
All
do
right,
that.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is there was a Chinese woman who was arrested on fraud charges. Because she won.
In China?
In China. And she won nearly $400,000 in insurance payouts by booking flights she thought would be canceled.
Oh!
Now, Where like the fraud charges come in. When I first read the story, I was like, this is just kind of bad because, it's like playing the stock market. And she won,
Right,
I was
right.
How can you cheat her out? But apparently she was using different identities to do this. And she had been on that side of the world. So she was using insider information. She knew which flight. And for me, I'm thinking about this. And I'm like, God, this is going to be a movie.
I would think so. Yeah, that sounds like a nice.
This is a crime that has yet to be explored by Hollywood.
How people got rich during the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Yeah, how they made money, how they predicted
this. She was doing this over several years as well.
Well, didn't they make a movie about the housing crisis where Christian Bale played the guy that made billions off of the housing crisis? Because he saw the numbers and it wasn't a crime, but he saw the trend and said, we can make money off of this.
Right.
Like, well, she obviously committed a crime, but yeah, you're right. There's going to be a whole avenue of this coronavirus wealth that I think, yeah, you're right. Hollywood should explore.
Yeah. I mean, she did this from 2015 to 2019. She took out almost 900 insurance policies during this time.
So what do? You book the flight. You don't pay for the flight, but then you get money back?
No, you book the flight, but you, I guess, get insurance on it. And if it's delayed or canceled, you get your money back plus some, I guess.
I got you. I got you.
But so, she had the insider information because she would look and see, you know, she knew the trends of what bad weather does to certain airports and certain airliners and what their policies were. And she, that's how she booked her flight.
Wow.
I mean, it's actually ingenious.
Pretty ingenious.
Until you get caught.
Yeah, and then you get caught.
But then $400,000.
What's the penalty for this in China, though?
Oh,
I mean, I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
She had hard labor for 50 years or something? Or
yeah, public flogging.
Yeah, right? I mean, I don't know.
You know, coronavirus.
Like
test
here,
subjects.
we would put you in like resort prison, and then afterwards, you could go on the book tour.
Yeah, probably make you stay at the yacht club.
Right, exactly, the yacht club. Right, with Damian Lillard. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is we got to give it to the eBay employees, not eBoy.
eBay?
Yeah, eBay employees. Some eBay employees are facing federal jail time for their mafia-like tactics.
Oh, eBay has got mafia-like tactics?
Well, certain employees took it upon themselves that when there was a blogger who wrote something negative about their site, they were mailing them live cockroaches, spiders, and a bloody pig mask.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, that's very, yes, that's very like Godfather-like.
That's not traceable, right?
Right, right.
You're mailing it from someplace. I mean, they can't call that back to you. Can you imagine you wrote something about eBay, like eBay, you were terrible, you lost my package, or you know, you didn't refund me in time, blah, 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 whatever. And then lo and behold, like a week or two later, you open a box that has live cockroaches in it.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I mean.
Do they do that whole thing where they're like, I must leave, Mr. Corleone likes to hear the bad news personally. And then,
right.
Then here's your cockroaches.
Here's your cockroaches.
While you're sleeping.
here's your live spiders.
Wow. How do you get away with that? Did they think that it wasn't going to be found out that that's where it came from?
I mean, it was six eBay executives, employees.
And they just found them, like, why are you sending insects and all this other nonsense?
Yeah, I forgot to add this one, because this one would scare the you-know-what out of me. They also sent a funeral wreath.
Oh, now that's awful.
Now, you know what that means.
That means, yeah, that's like sending the fish wrapped in the newspaper.
Yeah.
That's not good. Can you imagine being called into your boss's office for that? It's like, hey, Mike, can I see you for a second? Sure. And you sit down and go, did you send a funeral wreath to this right. individual? Because he wrote a bad thing about you? I don't know what you're talking about. That's got to be embarrassing.
You probably thought you can get away with it. And
how about just letting it go? How about if we forgot how to do that in this country? Just let it go? Just let people complain and then just move on?
Let people have their Twitter muscles?
Let them have their say and that's it. Move on.
So you want to know some of the other items? Because they're just, they're great. So a sympathy wreath on the occasion of the death of a loved one. A book of advice on how to survive the death of a spouse.
Oh, no.
Pornography mailed to their next door neighbor, but in the couple's names.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's awesome.
That's a good one. Now, that took some thinking and planning. Isn't that kind of mail fraud, too, a little, in a way? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the mail fraud laws are, but that doesn't sound like something the post office would like you to do.
Yeah. No, that's right? that could be kind of bad. Let's see. The face of a bloody pig, a Halloween mask, a pig fetus, which was ordered.
Oh, my God. Oh, these people are sick.
Yeah. I mean, they just kept going and going and going.
Oh, man.
They also apparently posted a Craigslist ad claiming to be from the couple, inviting singles, couples, and swingers to their house to a party after 10 p.m. every night. God, these guys are... I need a documentary on these guys.
Because I mean, it sounds like with that list that they've done it for a while before they got caught.
But I want to know like the thought process on the first time.
Yeah, right.
Who like, did okay, it? Yeah. Somebody sent a bad review. We got to get them back. What are we going to do? How about cockroaches? Sounds great, Johnny.
Well, you know, how many times do you hear people say like, well, I entered in these digits and next thing you know, I got money, but I only did it once. But then after a while, they ended up doing it The temptation was too strong, so they kept doing that kind of thing. I wonder if they went, no, we'll just do this one time. We'll send the message. We'll feel good. And then it just was like, we got away with it. Let's just keep going. And then it just exponentially increased, and the ideas of what to send were just too good to pass up.
Out of curiosity, though, were these people writing bad reviews of packages they kept receiving from these guys?
Good point. So it just kind of piled
on
itself.
Kind of a vicious cycle, because it looked like they were targeting one couple, one family.
Yeah, good point. That's great.
But yeah, I mean, sending pornographic stuff to your neighbor. And
that's not a bad idea.
That's
that's pretty good.
Sorry,
I'll give them that one. The pig fetus I might have a problem with.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad idea. The other one's not a bad idea.
That's a good prank that might need to be done.
Exactly. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb on Wake Up Call SB Nation Radio.
Game time decisions.
What's up, everybody? I am Gabriel Moretti inviting you. No, I'm not inviting you. I'm telling you. Join me in a Razor Redhead Cab Store weekdays at 6 Eastern as we throw it down on the loudest station in the nation, SB Nation Radio. It's Game Time Decisions with Gabriel Morenci and a Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Weekdays at 6 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. Bring it.
Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart. Weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. Into the Night.
Here with Phil Simms, Into the Night. All right, Phil, where's the 30 for 30 on Phil Simms and Bill Parcells?
No, the whole Parcells
and the
era with the Giants
exactly.
Would be fascinating.
How can that not be a 30 for 30, Phil?
Well, one, it's a new world, or an old world back then, so there's not video much of anything, and especially our interactions during practice. So his favorite, I always say this, played under Bill Parcells for 8 years. Of course, we had great success. And when he retired, I had to come home and check my birth certificate to see if my first name began with a P or an F. Because for 8 years, I was Effin' Simms. Effin' Simms. Effin' Simms. It just never ended.
You can spell Phil with an F, depending.
Well, I guess you can. Yeah. One of my teammates once said, you should just write FS like Lawrence Taylor does LT. And I go, what? Excuse me? What'd you say? He goes, FS. I said, I thought I heard you say that.
Into the Night with Tony Bruno and Harry Mays. Weeknights at 10 Eastern.
Wake up call!
It's really weird how gambling is now embraced and everyone acts like they never hated it or bothered by
course.
It before.
You know what else is getting that same love? Weed.
Same thing!
For years it was taboo, and now we're getting to that point like, it's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad. Same thing with gambling.
Which my state will legalize it.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of people doing this. Okay, all right, well,
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Weekday mornings.
Wake Up Call!
Hammerhead bet. Never heard of that.
Hammerhead bet. This is pure nightmare fuel.
All right. What is that? Why is this the first time I've ever heard of it?
That's a small dog with wings attached to it.
We should have known about this the second this was discovered. Mosquitoes can't possibly feed this thing. What is
Not at all. No, I don't know what it eats.
If it doesn't eat humans, what exactly does it
eat? Anything it wants to eat.
Right. No kidding. My God, that looks like Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, now, you know what? I'm sorry to do this when you're battling insomnia, because I know you're not sleeping now. Yeah, no, this thing is out there.
Totally.
My bad.
Oh, my God.
Should have saved it for after you came back and said, you know what? I got a good night's sleep,
yeah.
Ron. I got a story for you then.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Weekday mornings. You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop, so don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge if your battery needs to be replaced. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, a bit of parts, a bit of prices every day. So I was on this documentary kick last night, and I said I wasn't going to do it, and I did it. I watched the first part of Lance Armstrong's documentary.
And?
Lance. Wow. That guy, he is a jerk. He is a jerk. I'm sorry. I mean, I hated that because I liked Lance Armstrong a lot.
I was a huge fan.
I was a big fan. And watching this, like, He's got one of those, you know, it's one of those things, it's one of those personalities that it comes through in the interviews that he's doing, where you can just sense like, okay, he's, if I was a friend of his back in the day when he was conning everybody, I would suspect that not everything was on the up and up. Just, he was deflective a lot. But in the interviews that he did for the documentary, he was at least open. He did say in the very beginning, he says, I'm going to give you my truth, but it's not my spin. It's just how I remember it. And everything was on the table. So I give him that. He was willing to talk about everything in these interviews. But the first thing he does in the interview, now the way it was edited, this is more of a producer, director, you know, who's putting together the documentary. It's more on them than it is Lance. But he tells a story about how he was at a bar. He was at a restaurant bar, and out of nowhere, this one guy, everyone is looking at him, but nobody's saying anything. But everybody knows, like, he knows he's being looked at. He knows people are looking at him. These guys are looking at him, but nobody says anything. And then he goes, one guy stands up, looks at him, says, "Hey, Lance, beep you, beep you, beep you." And then next thing he knows, everybody in the bar is screaming at him, right? Everybody's yelling at him, yelling obscenities at him. He leaves. He gets out of there. He calls the bar, though. He's quick to point out in the interview, in this story, he calls the bar. He asks to pay for that man's drink and beer and everybody around that man's beer, that the tab, because I don't care how much it costs, and tell him I send my love. And then so Lance was, you know, again, is telling a story in which he was getting the brunt from the public for putting on this con job. And then he reminds us, oh, yeah, but deep down, I'm still a good guy. He at one point in the documentary, he tells the woman, because she says, have you felt like you've lost relevance? And he says, I don't mean to make it sound this way, but I'm still relevant. I'm very relevant. And I just was like, man, I don't know if you are, man. I'm sorry. I don't know if you are. I don't know if anything you put your mind and effort behind is going to be accepted by the public. It's funny because it's the exact opposite of what I felt like when I watched Long Gone Summer. Because when I watched Long Gone Summer, I made this point over the last 2 days, which is, you know, as time has moved on, we can look at Maguire and Sosa and go, yep, you know what? You did cheat the system. But in the end, you gave us something pretty awesome. And you know what? Maybe bygones are bygones. Lance is different, though. Lance is completely different because he got cancer at a young age. He got cancer when he was like 25, 26 years old. And they thought he was going to die. He had like stage 4 cancer. Like, he was going to die. And then he came back. And not only came back, he won the Tour de France. Not once, but 7 times he won the Tour de France in his career. It became his event. Now, the Tour de France is one of the most grueling athletic events you could do as an athlete. They were saying it's running the equivalent of a marathon every day for 3 weeks straight. It's some of the toughest terrain. It's some of the windiest roads. The mountains alone will give you a nosebleed. And he won it 7 straight times. And he did it. He started the run after the sport in the 90s. Had gotten ripped apart because of performance-enhancing drugs. So there was a way to evade that scrutiny, but he attacked every single person that questioned the validity of these victories. And I'll be honest with you, we probably all should have went, I don't know if this is really on the up and up, but the story was just too good to pass up, wasn't it? A guy was on death's door.
Yep.
Overcomes cancer to win the most grueling athletic event on the planet. And we just said, I don't want to know if he did it legally or not. I just like this part of the story.
Yeah, I remember the U.S. media coming to his defense like time and time
All
and time,
time
again.
Yeah.
Saying, like, God, these guys just won't let it go. They just can't accept that. He's won the Tour de France 6 times in a row. Because remember, before that, it was Greg LeMond.
Right, Greg LeMond.
And
right.
What? Greg LeMond won it twice or 3 times or something like that? I mean, it just fails in comparison to what Lance did. You know, we were all Greg LeMond fans. Like, yes, look at us dominating that bike race.
And he was dominating a sport in an event that Europe, like, that's why we were attacking, like, the European press, because to the folks in Europe, that's, like, cycling's a big deal, right? They take the cycling very seriously. They've got all, it's not only just the Tour de France, but races in Switzerland and England, Italy and Germany and all these places. Where in the United States, we don't pay attention to it. You know, it's not our thing. Is we don't watch it. But Lance made us watch it, and so we were loving it because he was an American, he was a Texan, he was winning in this grand event time and time again. I mean, 7 years dominating a sport, 7 years of winning an event. Imagine if Tiger Woods won seven Masters in a row,
yeah,
or, you know, seven Masters in 8 years. You just go, oh God, that's Tiger's tournament. Or if he won the British Open, even better. If he won the British Open seven times in an eight-year period or nine-year period.
It's physically impossible.
Right.
I mean, we've been talking about all day, you know, different things that the probability of it happening, it sounds impossible. You know, 74 hot dogs, that's impossible.
Right, exactly.
Being a six-time winner, six straight-time winner, that's impossible.
And now he still hates Floyd Landis, who basically whistle blew this whole thing and sent his whole life in the current state it's in right now. He's bitter about that. He went after Emma O'Reilly, who was a trainer, because she spoke out against this, because she questioned it. She said, this is not on the up and up. He went after everybody, nearly destroyed everybody's lives.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. We offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. We'll even bring it out curbside. Or you can have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLS number 3030.
Attention. If you or a loved one took Belvic or Belvic XR for weight loss, call the Belvic Advocates at 1-888-743-7254. You may be at increased risk for cancer, including pancreatic, colorectal, and lung cancer, and you may be entitled to a compensation. Call for a free review of your case at 1-888-743-7254. In February 2020, the FDA requested that the manufacturer of Belvic withdraw the drug from the market due to cancer findings. Call so that we can fight for a compensation to cover your medical bills and more. If you've been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, colorectal, or lung cancer after using the weight loss drug Belvic or Belvic XR, call the Belvic Advocates now for a free consultation. You may be owed a significant compensation. Call 1-888-743-7254, 1-888-743-7254. That's 1-888-743-7254.
Consult your physician prior to discontinuing use of any medication. Results may vary.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text MAIN to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text MAIN to 321321. That's M-A-I-N to 321321.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we don't have Major League Baseball, but it feels like every day there's a bit of news. Every day seems to be changing, proposals going back and forth. And now the latest, as Commissioner Rob Manfred said, he's not confident there's going to be a season. So let's get the latest with Gabe Lax, USA Today. On our Progressive guest line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Gabe?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. At least the statement by Rob Manfred saying he's not as confident that there'll be a season. Is that a sort of spin move to sort of talk about where the negotiations are? Is there legitimacy to that?
It's really interesting. I mean, it could just be some posturing, could just be sort of a nudge to get another move back to the bargaining table, for the players. But it is interesting to ponder how many this concept that's been going around of how many owners may not want to play just because they would lose some money. I mean, that's kind of the great unknown in all this and the big X factor. And I think what's one thing that over time has been kind of a hallmark of these labor situations is the players are generally pretty united, and you'll have factions of guys who make a lot of money and those that don't, and typically it's the ones who make a lot of money that wield the greater influence, and then you'll have debates over whether to maybe protect younger players or the draft or minor leaguers or international signees or whatever. Those are all relatively minor. The owners, they've always had a harder time kind of getting their house in order. You know, you'll have these real hawks who just want to, bust the players for all they can get. You'll have others who actually maybe, enjoy owning a team and wanting to compete every year. And then, of course, you have the massive disparities in markets the owner of the Yankees and the owner of the Pirates are going to have, different interests just automatically based on sort of their stations in the baseball world. So I think, we might be seeing some of that here is, how varied are the factions within ownership and how much is that affecting this extremely hardline stance that Rob Manfred has adopted, and this is a thing. I mean, this is what Rob Manfred does. He's very good at it. To what extent is it, hey guys, I'm going to handle this. I'm good. I'll come out of this. We'll be looking fine. And how much of it is him responding to a directive from a significant swath of owners? So those to me are the two X factors, and maybe we'll. When this is done, we'll know what the answer is. But right now, it certainly lends a lot of uncertainty to the process.
This idea of Rob Manfred just going, fine, 50 games, everybody gets their prorated salary, we get this thing going and get to the postseason in October like we normally do. Is that something the owners in the end will really want, or will they push against that idea, saying, look, at no point are we going to even do that?
Yeah, that's... that's an interesting thought. I think in the end I think they'll realize what's best for their longer term viability, both short and long term, because if you sit down and make a deal and you get the extra playoffs and you get that revenue, expanded revenue immediately, and then if you can do a grip and grin with Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, and you get Bryce Harper wearing a mic during a season of, say, 70 games, 65, 50, whatever the case may be, that's so much better than this would, not to be too macabre, but will be more of a death march of a season where players are begrudgingly kind of going in and playing and fans knowing that it's a farce. I mean, how much value would, your playoffs have if fans might, more traditional fans might tune it out to the degree of, well, this came as a result of a 50-game season, so right. It's not legit anyway. I mean, that's, you'd have to think that there would be a little bit of a bigger picture thinking there ultimately. We'll find out very soon, but it does make you wonder, certainly.
You know, it's you touched on it earlier about the other side, on the player side. And sure, we can look at the high-paid players and say, well, they probably got enough to sort of withstand this and maybe stand on principle. But the guy that's making, you know, a high six-figure salary, if I had a guaranteed contract, I'd buy a house or I'd put myself in a financial situation where I would kind of want that money. I would kind of want some, you know, some payment in 2020. Is there an undercurrent voice that is saying, all right, we don't want to not play? We like the principle we get, but at the same time, we would like a paycheck.
I mean, that's very real. You know, I mean, you just start doing the math. You know, let's say, you know, everybody, you know, in America, it's like $1 million is like the Holy Grail, right? You know,
right.
It always seems to be the prize. Okay, well, start doing the math, start, you know, hacking half of that away for taxes, union dues, you know, any debts you accrued coming up to make the major leagues, you know, maybe you bought your mom a house. You know, and then, yeah, if you did buy yourself a nice little house thinking you'd have 20, 30 years to pay it off. Yeah. And then suddenly you're not making any money. That's really tough. But the one thing about that too is players are so competitive. And when you're in that mode of your career and you don't know what you're going to be yet necessarily, okay. Mike Trout's making $36 million at this moment in time. You know, you're not Mike Trout and his interests are different than yours. But what makes these guys, you know, the world-class athletes that they are is this belief that even if they're not Mike Trout now, they might be someday. Even if you're a utility infielder,
sure.
You know, what keeps you in the big leagues is this thought that, you know, okay, I'm going to make some adjustments. This is going to be my year. It all comes together. And I'm not making tons of money now, but hopefully I will someday. And so those guys will realize they'll want to protect their longest term interests as well, so that when they, you know, get in their 6 years and get to free agency, they will be taken care of in the manner that the guys before them did as well. So I think that ultimately is what kind of evens things out with that sort of financial stratification that comes with salaries. That, hey, I'm not that guy yet, but I think that I will be. And when I do get there, I want to be getting paid as much as the guys now. And I'm not gonna hurt that golden goose by, you know, for a very minuscule, relatively speaking, a short-term money grab.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, joining us on a Progressive guest line as we talk Major League Baseball. This idea of let's get this postseason in the framework of what we normally expect, because not only do we want to kind of fit in a normal calendar, but also there's a possible second wave. Both sides, there seems to be some owner, like the players would, of course, like to play as many games as possible, and even if that means playoffs in November, but are they at least understanding the concern of no playoffs is no good for anybody, so if there is a second wave, we better figure out a way to get this done in case there is a second wave?
Yeah, it's interesting because that piece of it is definitely some posturing on both sides. I mean, you know, in every report you read, you know, the owners say, you know, they want to get it done before a potential second wave. Oh, and by the way, Fox would like it to be done before the
sure,
November sweep tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, let's be honest. I mean, you know, Fox has basically been an assistant commissioner for 20, 25 years. I mean, whatever, and, you know, they pay for that, right? You know, they always keep coming back to the table and handing Major League Baseball $5 billion or, you know, whatever the current deal is over the course of how many years, you know, to broadcast basically what they want is the World Series and the playoffs and the All-Star game. And they'll throw in some games of the week just to kind of keep the game current. But, yeah, I mean, that can't be underestimated either. And, you know, I mean, players have legitimate health concerns. So I think playing into December, you know, is definitely a bit of posturing on their part. I think ideally, you know, maybe they would have gotten it done sooner so that 100 games was a little more realistic. But, I think they realize that's fairly unrealistic. And you know, it's kind of this game of, it's almost like the roulette wheel. You know, you spin the wheel and you keep betting on black and you hope that it keeps coming up. That's kind of what it's, you know, playing through this thing is going to be like. You know, the more times you stay at the table and spin the wheel, you know, the more times black isn't going to come up. You know,
right.
You're going to get positive tests. So, I mean, it's Yeah, it's a sketchy little tango that they're doing right there. But yeah, I think there's definitely some posturing on both sides of the table when it comes to, I guess, the level of concern or lack thereof for health ultimately.
Back to the commissioner, and probably I'm asking you to speculate a little bit, but he, as sort of a mouthpiece for the owners, but he's also the face of the league. Do you think the owners are seeing him and saying, well, look, it may not be the result we want, but he's doing a good job. He's at least making our case, even if the case for the public is, we don't care, we just want baseball.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think how this ends may obviously will frame how the owners ultimately feel. You know, it seems kind of clear. They don't care at all about optics. They want to save every last, once again, the one singular event that kind of, I guess, most blew my mind in this whole, everybody's had to respond to the pandemic in different ways. But the one thing that really kind of startled me was, the Washington Nationals saying, okay, we'll pay the minor leaguers, but we're not going to give you the $400 a week. We're going to make it $300 a week.
Yeah.
And I just thought, man, okay, you're willing to, that's literally saving pennies, and wow, realizing they were going to get totally raked on the coals. And they took a big L when the players, the Nationals themselves, stepped up and said, it's ridiculous. We'll pay the, we'll pass the hat for these guys. And then
right.
They kind of shamed them into making it the full $400, salary. I mean, I think that just kind of tells you the mentality of this group. It's just like, geez, we don't care. Capture every nickel that you can for us. And, we'll take the public relations hit, which again is very short-sighted in my opinion. But if Manfred is able to walk back to them with something, resembling a victory, or at least, then I think his stature will remain pretty safe with the owners. Of course, everybody realizes the big kahuna is the collective bargaining agreement after 2021.
Sure.
So given his success at the negotiating table in past negotiations, I think his job will be safe at least through then. I don't think they'd want to switch up, with that big battle coming.
Gabe, we love talking to you, my friend. Appreciate it, as always, giving us a little insight of Major League Baseball. Thanks a lot.
And maybe next time this thing will be done. I think we say that every time.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
We'll see.
You got it. Thanks, Gabe. Take care, brother. Gabe Lax, USA Today on Major League Baseball. All right, one other point I want to make on that in terms of the PR angle. We've talked about it a lot. Sort of the optics are bad. But is Rob Manfred doing a good job? Thoughts on that coming up next on Wake Up Call.
The Jake Asman Show.
Jake Asman Show.
I woke up optimistic. I woke up excited. I was going to make bacon for the first time in my life. Recently, during my furlough, I learned how to scramble eggs. Now, you might laugh at me. Just learned how to scramble eggs? Yes, I was a late bloomer on the eggs. But I know how to do it at an elite level now. So every morning as I get up and prep for this show, I make some scrambled eggs. Well, I was going to make bacon. The eggs were great. Eggs were done. I put the bacon on the pan. I'm like, yeah, I got some time. I'll play around. I'll make some bacon. Then I said to myself, you know what? Let me go and get dressed for work. I'll eat the bacon, then I'll go. I had totally forgotten that I left the bacon on the frying pan. I come back and I go, oh my God, my apartment smells like it's on fire. Not only was this bacon burnt, it was not edible. It was absolutely decimated. And I dropped the ball. I failed.
The Jake Asman Show. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern. Into the night.
Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coach, how did the whole Tom Brady thing come together for you?
We did our due diligence, and all the guys that were expected to possibly be in the free agency, we broke them all down. And, he was at the top of our list. And then when he decided to leave, we made the phone call, and he and I hit it off pretty good and started working on contracts. And he was interviewing me as hard as I was interviewing him.
Into the Night with Tony Bruno and Harry Mays, weeknights at 10 Eastern. 10 Eastern. Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault.
Colin Kaepernick lost his job because he stood for something that made people uncomfortable. What happened was a complete and total character assassination of Colin Kaepernick and a corrupting of the message he was trying to push to muddy the waters so much that no one really understood what he was doing and why he was doing it. So my question to the NFL, this coming year, will you allow the next Colin Kaepernick? The NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, the NBA, they're all saying the right things right now. But what happens when somebody makes you uncomfortable? What happens the next time somebody does something to bring to light a topic that makes you uncomfortable and that you feel is bad for business? What do? Do you listen or do you kick them out because you kicked out Colin Kaepernick?
Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault. Weekday afternoons from 1 to 4 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. Pharrell.
Coast to coast!
You know SB Nation's taking over the world, right?
Why, of course!
It's Pharrell here from Sports Grid. Here's what happened. They signed Pharrell Coast to Coast and Morenci Game Time Decisions, put it on from 4 to 7 East, and then everybody else in our path, what we're doing is we're destroying them.
Total, complete, absolute annihilation.
And it's a lot of fun.
This is gonna be good!
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, like us on Facebook at Wake Up Call with Tony D, Ron Culver, and on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Before we get to something Gabe Lax had said, Robert on Twitter, I was a big Lance supporter. That yellow jersey fit him perfectly. I read his autobiography, It's Not About the Bike, a good read and inspirational. Also, his Live Strong Foundation did plenty of philanthropy. Geez, most things turned out to be big fake, really sad. Yeah, and if you watch the documentary, Robert, that's exactly how you're going to feel. You're like, man, I was in on this with this guy for a long time. He was one of the great stories of sports. And here's the other thing about Armstrong. He was a mega celebrity. He wasn't just an athlete. He had transitioned. He was hanging out with actors and singers. He dated Sheryl Crow for a while. He was dating Kate Hudson. He had gone beyond just his sport. He became a cultural figure. He became just a celebrity in general. And a lot of it had to do with his story. Overcoming cancer to win the Tour de France, something people just blew their mind. And yet, he was cheating the whole time and fighting anybody that was challenging him. It is eye opening. It's, I'm going to watch part two today. So I watched part one yesterday and just part one made me shake my head and go, oh God, but part two should be even more in depth because it's going to get to the latter half of his career. The fallout, if you will. All right. So is Rob Manfred doing a good job? Well, yes, in our world as fans, no, because there's no baseball, there's no plan, but remember he works for the owners. And so if the owners are basically trying to say, look, we don't want prorated salary here. Like, we don't want to pay these guys per game what they were getting when there was full baseball and fans in the stands and the revenue that was coming in. He's going out there and making points of there will be baseball, there won't be baseball. I don't know if he's doing a good job to be the mouthpiece for the owners. I don't think he is, because I think in the end, what we look at is we want to see progress. Again, as I said yesterday, you know, I don't want justice, I want peace, right? The line I use to my kids. That really does apply here. I don't think Americans and baseball fans in particular are really concerned about how the pie is divvied up. I don't think there's a side to take. I don't think you find union people and owners people. I don't think there's an argument at your local, hangout on Zoom or whatever we're doing these days of sports arguments that say, well, I support the players. I think they should get their full amount of money. Or, no, the owners aren't generating revenue. There shouldn't be baseball until the players accept a pay cut. I don't think either side, I think both sides are at fault. And I don't think there's a winner here. If Manfred is speaking for an ownership group that doesn't seem to care about optics, which they don't, because otherwise they would have spun this as more as a health concern than anything else, I think he's failing on that level. If I was an owner and I don't care about optics, he's doing a good job. If I do care about how baseball is being perceived among all the other sports that are trying to get back, I think he's failed.